I want you to show you a film that has really captured my heart, even when it came out 2 or 3 years ago, I'm not sure. But God showed it to me again recently. And so just to give you a little bit of information, it's about four people in the Bible and it's their stories. Okay? So just listen and watch and receive.
Was a single mother. She was abandoned by the family she belonged to. And there in the wilderness with her son, alone, with very little provision, she was wondering. She was questioning. Does anyone care? She's crying, man. The desert. She's lost in her despair. She thinks nobody loves her. Hagar thinks nobody's there. But God says, I will be a ring of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst, and the power of my presence will bring her to her knees, and I will lift her up again, for I'm the God who sees. I'm the God. Then he speaks in gentle whispers, and he softly calls her name. She feels his arms enfold. She'll never be the same. 'Cause I'm the God who never changes, and my promises are true. And when this world deserts you, this is what I'll do.
And then there was another woman named Ruth. She was from the land of Moab, and she was met with grief and heartache. She was a widow, and she lived with her mother-in-law, who was also a widow. And now it was time to move on. But Ruth had never been to Bethlehem. She had never tasted of the house of bread. But now she had heard an inner invitation to come and taste and see. And so she vowed herself to her mother-in-law and said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lie, I will lie. Where you die, I will die." And she begins a journey to the promised land. She's traveling through the desert, and she's leaving her despair. She's hoping for a future, praying God will lead her there.
Yeah, I think that's a really special film. And when you think that's right from the Bible, and you, as we know, the Bible is full of stories of people's lives and how God has moved in their lives. And so all that you saw on there is available for us. So I'll just say, he sees us. Every one of us in this room, he sees us and knows us. Even if we don't know him yet, he knows us. And he also wants to give us all those precious promises that Nicole was singing about. But God says. And what God says is better than what we think or imagine. It's far better because it brings life, it brings wholeness and healing like it did to all those four people. And if you want to know where all those stories are from in the Bible, I've actually got some Bible verses that I can share with you of where to actually look up their story. So it just highlights it even more for you. I really struggled to get something together afterwards because I wanted to speak on all four people to begin with. Then I whittled it down to, well, I'll choose one. And then on Friday morning, God says, Sylvia, tell your story. Isn't he kind? He always hides. I call it his hijacking. He gets my attention. This is my intention, Sylvia, for you to tell your story. Because you could speak on all those four people. Any one of us could, probably. But anyway, so really I'm doing what he's asking me to do. So I feel quite vulnerable with this. And I think sometimes our testimonies can be vulnerable, can't they? Because you're giving away a little bit more of your life and that, which is okay. But it's vulnerable to tell your stories. And so I'm just obeying this morning. And it started with, I had to have some major surgery. And to be honest, I was very fearful. I was thinking of, how are we going to get there? How am I going to go through it? How am I going to be looked after? And Lord, you know, Lord, you've got to help. Sort of thing, that was my prayer. And it began with Tony and Julie sending me some of their holiday photos. And one of the pictures was on a cottage. I think it was like a whitewashed cottage in Scotland. I don't know where they were. And in front of this cottage, it was a row of cottages, but in front of this one in particular, the pavement was strewn with all around the front door and that, it was strewn with flowers, plants, pots, ornaments, etc., etc. In other words, they put on this most beautiful display for all the visitors as they walked by to see. And the minute I saw this picture, do you remember that, Julie? Yeah, she's nodding. As soon as I saw this picture, the Lord said to me, Sylvia, this is a picture of the table I'm going to spread before you in the presence of your enemies. And so I thought, there's my promise. There's my promise. And I was to look for it and to expect it, he said. So, what came to mind immediately was Psalm 23. I will spread a table before you. And that meant of provision, goodness, everything that he is, he has got for me while I go through this thing, this time. And if I'm honest, my enemy was fear. Because I was fearful. I was very anxious about going in. Not so much the procedure, which wasn't nice, but it was, how am I going to be cared for? When you're living on your own, you've got a very different thought pattern, you know, and you ask for help. You've got to be very vulnerable and ask people for help. And the church was brilliant. The church supported me. Family supported me through it. So just a few things that happened was, the first thing was Peter and Margaret. Do you remember Peter and Margaret? They approached me and said, we'll take you to the hospital, Sylvia. Don't worry about that little detail. Because I knew that Andrew was working, but he would have taken me. But so that was almost like number one. And then they came. And so at the hospital, the anaesthetist told me I was going to have the Rolls Royce of anaesthetics. And he knows, it's like God knows how you tick, doesn't he? And so I said to him, oh, my son works for Rolls Royce. Yes. You know, and it was like, and one of their logos is excellence. And there it was again. And while waiting in the, you know, the waiting room, you've got your socks on, blah, 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 your gown. And so you're in a room with lots of people waiting for their procedures. A nurse came up to me and she said, Sylvia, I just want you to come in a room for a minute. And she said, don't tell anyone else, but we want to give you sips of water. Now, I think that's, I don't know what their procedures are now, but I thought, there it is again. Just drink in me. Here I am again. I am showing you what this table looks like for this time. And then Sally, my daughter-in-law, who worked in theatres, but she was up on the floor, floor above ours, she had arranged to come down when they phoned her and she would walk me to theatre. You know, they walk you to theatre? And then you're beginning to wobble. And I remember shaking then, you know, because it hits you now, it's happening kind of thing. And she was in her scrubs and everything from her work upstairs, but they allowed her to go into theatre and hold my hand until I went to sleep. And that was my daughter-in-law, who I love, amazing, beautiful. And I thought, and I was thinking, there it is again. That is the table spread before me for this time. And so, and she was there when I came round. She was the first. She'd come again when I was recovered, and she was the first face I saw. Mum, you know? So, after the surgery, I was on a ward with three dementia patients. I'm not sure what all that was about, but just lay down and do what you're told. And the lady opposite me, because you take in the room, don't you? And you hear everything, unfortunately, through the curtains. So you can't get away from what is happening in a ward. But I don't think she wasn't able to talk, and I don't think she could hear. So she was a very needy older lady. And unfortunately, she was a bit neglected. And I love social services, but she was a bit neglected and misunderstood. And she would point to me, not saying a word, across the room. And I thought, what is she saying? You know, but I couldn't get up because I was incapacitated. So on my second day, I'd been praying for her and feeling, I'm going home today, what can I do? I hadn't spoken to any of the nurses yet about my concern for her and what I'd seen. She'd even had scolded herself with a hot drink, and it just wasn't good. So when she pointed to me, I thought, is she trying to say, you know, this is what I was picking up. So I knew I was going home that evening. It was all arranged that Andrew was coming to get me. And in the afternoon, they closed the door to the ward, which is quite unusual in QA, I found. That the we were like enclosed. That was the feeling. And that I remember the wind, I can see it now, the wind was blowing and it was getting darker and darker with the afternoon, late afternoon drawing in. And we had no lights on, so the room was getting darker and darker as well. By now I'm getting quite upset inside, crying and praying for her. Should I step out the boat and be doing something, you know? And which I didn't begin with, but I decided to worship. I'm looking at Sue. I decided to worship. That's all I had in me, was I can worship you, God, in the midst of all this. It was almost like the table wasn't looking so good now. But God sees our worship, does he not? And he especially sees our worship when it costs. Yeah? Who knows that? When it costs us, when we're at our... when we can be at the bottom, you know. So I put in my earphones and all that. And so you can imagine we were enclosed. The room was getting darker. It was almost like it's getting darker and darker. And I thought, I need to worship. So I'm on the bed, laying on the bed, sick bowls. Sorry about that, folks. But you know the picture when you've had procedure. And so I'm worshipping, I'm crying, I'm praying for this beautiful woman who couldn't speak for herself. And so all of a sudden, a bright light came into the room from nowhere. It was almost as if it wasn't from outside. No one had put a light on. A bright light filled the room. The wind died down. And I froze. Because it was like, this is you, Lord. Your presence has filled this room. Because you heard the cries, not just of me, but from this woman who couldn't speak. And I would say, for me, that as his presence filled the room, his glory came too. Isn't he kind? Isn't he amazing that he can do that? And after a few minutes, a nurse entered the room, just opened the doors and entered the room. She was in completely white. She was dressed completely in white. And I know some of the nurses from, is it Leon Solent or somewhere, Hasler or something, they can be in white, but I'd never seen her before. And there was something about her. And I'm beginning to think now, do we even have an angel in our midst? It was so intense. And she went straight to my lovely lady opposite me. And she pulled the curtains around her. And I knew that this lady, her food was still waiting there for someone to come and feed her, because she had no family come or anyone. And I remember smelling her dinner, and I thought, she's taken the lid off of her food. And she was quietly talking to her as she fed her and gave her a drink. And that was it. When she'd finished, she must have cleaned her up or whatever, and she left the room, and I sort of went, thank you. And she didn't even look at me. She didn't have to. I didn't care. And I thought, was that you, God, sending an angel even? It wasn't the usual staff. And now, looking at something like that, I believe for that scripture, and it's found in Zechariah 2:5, and it says, God placed a ring of fire around us. This is how I felt about us in that room. God placed a ring of fire around us, and that ring of fire can speak of protection, because nothing can get in and hurt you. Who's going to jump over a ring of fire and get at you? It's almost like a protection. You're under my protection. And he would be the glory in our midst. And that was the presence of our amazing God. That he can walk into a room, light it up, and then he can actually see to the physical need. And that was the purpose. And so it's almost like, why am I telling you one of my stories? It was very personal for me, obviously, but it wasn't for me. In a way, it wasn't anything about me. I just happened to be in the hospital at that time. But it was for her, because God saw her. He knew the stuff that she was going through, and he wanted to do something. And for each one of us, we can be involved or drawn in to anything he wants to do miraculously. So I just want to encourage you for that. If you're ever in a situation where you feel as if you want to step in, because I kept on saying to Andrew when he would visit, I'm going to go and sort out all this nursing stuff. You know, I was getting so angry, bad attitude, sorry. But I wanted to do it in my own strength and sort this out, make waves, you know. This isn't right, you know, justice. A good biblical word, isn't it, justice? But with a wrong attitude, it doesn't mean anything. And so he got me to cry and to weep for this woman and sing over her. And God did it his way. So whenever we want to step out in something, and I've had a thing this week for 3 days, I stepped out. And we have had success. This is within my family. And I am in awe. I'm amazed at God's goodness. But he also wants us to partner with him. And if he says step out in any situation, I would say do it. And then sometimes you just have to stand, and he says, stand still and you will see the glory of the Lord. And he says, the battle isn't yours, Sylvia, it's mine. I've overcome, I'm the victorious one. Will you stand and watch my glory? Will you believe and you will see it. You will see the glory of God. So that's just a part, just one of my stories. And I felt to come in the back of that because of that shows the film. But initially I wanted to talk on, but God says, let's learn, church, to draw on the promises of God. Because that's what started all this off. He laid a table before me in the presence of my enemy. It was done through a photo. How does he do that? Isn't that powerful? It's amazing that just through someone sending me a photograph, I got a picture and a promise. And this woman was fed and watered. And just before I left the hospital, God asked me to be brave and said, Sylvia, will you flag this up now? This was afterwards. So I called to see the sister in charge, and she came and sat with me, and I told her what I'd seen. So it was done in a gracious way. By now I'm, you know, I'd do anything, God, sort of thing. I'll do anything. And she received what I'd seen, and she said, Sylvia, I'm so sorry that you saw all that. I said, for me, that's okay. But now, look after that precious woman, please. Amen.